Hello and good evening. I'm Lissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. As Malacca state elections seem to be more and more an inevitability now, what should we be bracing for, especially as the government claims that COVID-19 is endemic? Can core democratic practices be suspended indefinitely? Thomas Fun is the chairperson of the Coalition for Clean and Fair Elections, or better known as BERCE 2.0. He joins us now. Thomas, BERCE has said that it doesn't believe an election is the way to resolve the political impasse in Malacca, that polls, perhaps at this time during a pandemic, is not appropriate. But on the other hand, declaring an emergency to delay elections is an unwise move. And I'm just wondering now, that there's this, the dissolution of the Malacca State Assembly has happened, it's irreversible. What should be done then?
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for having me on the show. I think I just want to clarify that. I think I say that holding a snap election should be a last option when there are other options available before the DUN was dissolved. And I think that the chief minister could have reached out to the opposition, just like what Ismail Sabri did at the federal level, to have some sort of a memorandum of understanding so that they can have some stability and also to see some reform that will ensure stability in whoever, so that whoever becomes government will have that stability. But having said that, you know, the DUN has now been dissolved. As far as we are concerned, the election can and should be should go forward simply because, number one, we cannot use emergencies, the declaration of emergencies, to suspend elections or democracy all the time, because really, we do not know how long this pandemic is going to go on. But elections has been suspended, and even parliament has been suspended just not too long ago. So election for Malacca should go on for that reason. And also, I think the situation now is quite different from the time when Sabah had his state election. And also the fact that Malacca is a rather small state. So I think the SPR is well equipped to manage election in the state of Malacca.
Well, so wonderful that you brought up the Elections Commission, because many people who are saying that elections should not be held say that the Election Commission is not up to the task, that while they have many tools to be creative in their response to this particular election in terms of the days that things are, you know, the election is polling is actually held over and so on and so forth. They could do things, but they, looking at the kind of institutional inertia that the Election Commission has suffered for, well, literally decades, it's unlikely they'll do so. So they say, well, we can't trust the Elections Commission, and neither can we trust the political culture in Malaysia. Malacca is small, but it will have inevitably a flood of people from around the peninsula, political operatives and such, doing the campaigning and such.
Well, I mean, I think it is true that the Election Commission, since the start of this pandemic 1.5 years ago, other than coming out with SOP, you know, that they work out with the MOH, Ministry of Health, to social distance and sanitize and this different thing. We have not heard any innovative ways for people to cast their votes, you know. And where else, 1.5 years of pandemic, we have seen many elections in other countries where bigger countries have successfully carried out their elections using innovations. So that is, I think, a concern that we have. But nonetheless, we believe that it is entirely doable. I think to understand the election, there are two parts to it. One is the the conduct of the election on polling day itself, which is where a lot of the focus of SPR is. And that's all they ensure that there is social distancing, there's sanitization, the officers are wearing gloves, and all these are good. But the other part of election is actually the nomination and campaign period. And I personally believe that this is where in Sabah it went wrong. You know, because there was, I think, though there were some guidelines and restrictions, there was not enough enforcement. So we were on the ground in Sabah and we witnessed big charamas, gatherings, you know, with very little social distancing, things like that. And I think that is something that SPR can and should look into, not just restricting the campaigning, which I think something that we would not support as well, because there should be freedom, you know, for candidates and party to campaign, but come up with alternatives. Alternatives like giving them equitable airtime on national TV for the parties and the candidates, and even televised debates. You know, in Indonesia, we saw that the televised debates are a huge event, and their SPR basically scheduled the different national TV to take turn to televise the debate, presidential debate. I think this can be done for us as an alternative to the parties.
Thomas, we're not short of good ideas in terms of, you know, how we can hold elections in a time of a pandemic. But in the event that the EC does not innovate, that no major changes or innovations are adopted in time for the Malacca state elections, what would status quo elections mean for Malacca?
Well, what it would mean is, other than the standard SOP, I believe there will be some restriction on the size of charamas, so that there will be no crowding. So that will be status quo. But I think given the situation that now 90%, and by the time of the election, more than 90% of adults would have been vaccinated, there should be a lower risk of another spike in cases for COVID. So it's certainly, I think, weighing between the two, sacrificing elections and democracy and taking the risk, I believe that this risk is manageable and it should be carried on.
It would also mean that 18-year-olds wouldn't be able to vote yet, right, in these state elections?
That is true. That is actually one of the most unfortunate situations, because we are so close, and yet for this Malaccan youth, 18 and above, they are just going to miss this state election just by a couple of months. But there will be another election coming up, the general election, which I'm sure that by then, 18 years old and above will be able to vote.
Right. That's all we have from Thomas Fun of Bursay 2.0. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We will be, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back with more on this topic in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned to Consider This. Watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. The impending Malacca and Sarawak elections have raised questions about the need to prioritise democratic practices, even in the midst of a pandemic. Joining us now, we have Philip Koh, adjunct professor at University of Malaya. Philip, now, could the constraints that are placed on elections, if held now, undermine its legitimacy?
Hi, Melissa and Charlotte. Good evening. I was thinking about the title of Gabriel McGrath's Marquez, love in the time of Corolla. And elections in the times of pandemic are an important issue. To postpone or to continue to hold an election is a very important issue because the Election Commission reputation has risk. If they do not hold, then there's erosion of trust in a democratic process. But there are also political risks because the level playing field that is always to be promised for an election is accentuated. The challenge of holding a level playing field, especially in pandemic times, there are financial risks because additional burdens for ensuring the SOPs are adhered to, there are operational risks. And finally, there are legal risks, of course. For the audience, I would like to say that my commitment to the love for the Constitution is such that I believe that we cannot postpone elections just because there could be a risk. But it is up to the Election Commission to manage those risks with care and with the proper procedures that should be imposed while ensuring your question, Melissa, that the legitimacy of the outcome will not be questioned.
Philip, I want to ask you about this, right? What does the Constitution give the Election Commission in terms of powers in order to innovate, to alter, to make create creative solutions, ones that are responsive to public health needs? Is there enough on the books for that? And if there are deficiencies, could they be corrected in time for an election that was supposed to be held like 60 days after the dissolution?
I think that question is a very practical one, Sharad, because if you look at the Election Commission, it is a constitutional organ embedded in a federal constitution. As a clear members of the Election Commission, the chairman must have the standing of almost a federal court judge, all right? Because of that independence, they do have that capacity. Now, the Constitution does not lay down all the ground rules, and the Election Commission needs to be very careful that they do not go beyond the act that they are empowered with. Now, as to the processes of how the actual conduct of it in pandemic times, nobody has anticipated that. I think that they have to be careful that they don't, they cannot go beyond, for example, well, everybody must vote online. I think that is really not possible. I'm not privy to the inside information of Election Commission, budget and the details, right? Maybe they should be asked for a program in your program. I think, however, that the ordinary polling stations and those issues of campaigning, there could be innovative way, for example, allowing the mainstream media to also permit opposition to put their platform forward. These issues ought to be innovatively examined.
Okay. Can I ask you about the emergency ordinance, Philip? I'm just wondering whether, you know, the emergency ordinance that suspends elections that has been revoked, whether that applies to state elections as well?
Yes. Actually, one of the interesting things that came out, the concern about the citizens over constitution and the emergency has really focused many, many stakeholders as to how the constitution operates in times of emergency. The Emergency Essential Powers Ordinance of 2021 that was gazetted in POA 12 came in under the Proclamation of Emergency. The Proclamation of Emergency terminated on the 1st of August. And the most interesting aspect from all the comments in the media is that when we look carefully at the Clause 12 for Parliament and Clause 13 for State Assembly, Professor Shahd Farooqi, my good friend and expert on constitutional law, helpfully pointed out to me that the opening words of these two clauses is for so long as the emergency is in force. That means when the emergency terminated on 1st of August, the issue of suspension of election is no longer there. All right? So there is news that I have gathered that there was in the agenda tomorrow, the last day of this parliamentary sitting, there would have been a motion to annul the ordinances. There are about six other ordinances. But in relationship to the fact that the emergency has been no longer in force, the election suspension clauses are no longer operative. And therefore, the election in Malacca must be held unless the Yang di-Pertuan Agong, at the advice of the Prime Minister and the Cabinet, proclaim a fresh emergency and pass a new ordinance with a similar suspension of the state election as they did so for Sarawak.
Philip, can you explain to us, from a constitutional point of view, how high a bar is there for calling an emergency? Is this pandemic now declared endemic, which means that we're going to be living with it for the foreseeable future? Can that be used now to justify an emergency? Or do you need some other compelling reason in order to do so?
The Proclamation of Emergency Article under 150, interesting for Malaysia, unlike other international nations, they actually captured the fact of a possible issue of natural disaster, and they could include threat to public health and economic order. So what the question, Sharad, you legitimately posed to me is a question of the judgment of the executive as to whether it is timely and proper and whether a true state of exception, a phrase used by a German jurist, has arisen to allow and justify an emergency. I suspect that the public would not accept this very, very well if the executive so tried to pronounce a proclamation now, especially with the interstate travel being released, because one of the major constraints about conducting election in times of pandemic is restriction in the freedom of movement and assembly, and also health-related risks for voting in public and the officials and operational complications. Now, you cannot use that as a mere excuse to suspend elections. There must be a genuine higher degree of pandemic, as you put it, and not just something endemic that is in our midst.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Philip Koh, adjunct professor at University of Malaya. Another quick break here and Consider This, but more in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. Thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. We have Mujibur Abdulbu is joining us now. He's senior lecturer with the Faculty of Administrative Science and Policy Studies at UiTM. Mujibur, we've been talking about the Malacca state elections in the part, in the first part of the show, and it seems to be more and more an inevitability now. But I'm just wondering if we could shift our focus to the Sarawak state, the Sarawak elections at the moment. I mean, what do you make of the rumours that the Sarawak elections are going to be held sooner than expected? Any merit to that? Do you think it might be?
Yeah, I think it might be. It depends on how the decision with the Malacca state election is it on as expected, or it is there any reasons to prevent it from happen? Is especially when most of the people expecting that it will be a declaration of emergency that may prevent the election from happen. Because I believe that if Malacca election can be conducted properly, so there is no reason for Sarawak, which is urgently need the state election since their mandate is already over and the election supposed to be held somewhere around July in this year. So they are going to cry for their state election as well if the Malacca election is go or decided to go as expected.
Mujibu, do you think the decisions or the deliberations now about whether Malacca should go for an election or that the federal government should attempt to impose an emergency in order to suspend the elections, do you think the issues there are largely about public health or are they about politics and the relative strength of the contenders? Barisan Nasional, UMNO in particular, versus Bersatu versus PH. Do you think politics more than public health is driving those decision-making processes?
Yeah, I think with the current situation, it is strongly said that the state election in Malacca is inevitable because the due process is already over. The governor have already accepted and the SPR or the Election Commission is already notified for the dissolution of the DUN. So I think it's going to be the election regardless. And in the same time, we are having a different situation nowadays with the COVID. And of course, compared to what we have during the Sabah state election last year, the situation is much better this year compared to what happened last year. So I don't see it is any reason to declare emergency because people are having enough with this emergency as well as the movement control orders, so on and so forth. So election supposed to be conducted. The most important thing for this election, well, whether the SOP, the street SOP as well as the street protocol need to be enforced because this right. is what lacked during the Sabah state election, especially right. with small state like Malacca, the demography is very controllable, but somehow with this interstate travel is already allowed. So there is a fear that a massive movement, especially from the party machineries for campaign and so on and so forth, will create what we call problem to our situation. This is what happened right. in Sabah before.
Well, okay, Mujibu. So in the event that elections will be held, maybe first in Malacca, then we'll see what happens in Sarawak. I'm just wondering, who would benefit from holding elections now? Would it benefit the incumbent? Or do you think these elections, these state elections, for instance, might be an opportunity for voters to express how they feel about the way the country has been run for the past 20 or so months?
Yeah, it is still early to say that who's getting the benefit out of this election because we need to see when the election come whether we have three corner contestations. Yeah, who are the candidates that have been offered by the party? Because all these things will be shaping the result of the election. But for me, the situation is much open compared to what we have in PRU 14 due to the fact that the situation is different. Yeah, they have experienced two different administration during the PH and during the 8th month of Barisan Nasional or the PN, so they can compare. Compared to Sarawak, we can simply say that the incumbent may have good chances of winning.
Yeah, Mujib, we're running out of time. Very quick question. Rahim Thambi Cheikh, former Malacca CM, I believe, said that he believes that it's going to be a three-corner fight, BN, PN and PH. Who do you think is going to come up tops?
Well, if you look at the result in the last general election, the three-corner contestation, three-corner fight have definitely give an advantage to the Pakatan Harapan. And of course, if you follow the latest small by-election result, you can simply see that this is a different game whatsoever. But somehow, the voters nowadays are more realistic, they are more tactical, they are more rational in deciding whether they're who's they're going to vote. Yeah. So, but I still believe if the Muafakat Nasional and Perikatan Nasional does not solve this problem, and there are three corner right. contestation during the election. I believe maybe PH will gain an upper hand in this result.
Interesting. Thank you so much. Mujibur Abdul Muiz from UiTM. They're wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night, folks.